Right. I've been trying to preach this since August, and I was all set to go, and then lockdown happened, and I couldn't preach this, and I was quite put out. But now, since I haven't addressed this topic in 3 years, and I've been hankering after it, doing it, feeling like the Lord told me to do it, I'm going to do it today, and it's called The Power of Praying in Tongues. Write that down. The Power of Praying in Tongues. You know, we are a Pentecostal church. We are into the power of the Holy Spirit. But I thank God that in the 70s, when I was but a child, you know, the power of God moved throughout the nation. It was called the, what was it called? You were there, Gene. The Charismatic Renewal. That's right. You were there. You were amazing. Gene and Lois, give them a hand right here in the second row. Been in our church forever and ever. I think you are the two longest standing members of our church, and we're so proud of you, awesome ladies, mighty prayer warriors. You were here before this building was built, when it was across the road, wherever the road is. Amen. So, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't care what the name over the door is of your church. He will fall on anyone who's hungry. So this is not a Pentecostal arrogance sort of thing at all. We are all hungry for the Holy Spirit. And what is Pentecost? Well, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, people who are into the fullness of the Holy Spirit and into the power of God and into speaking and praying in tongues, we are called Pentecostals. Sometimes that's used as a derogatory term. I don't know why. But do you know what? 117 years ago, or round about, at the turn of the century, no, more than that, 121 years ago, there were only 10,000 Pentecostals. That's not many. They were seen as a cult. But today, out of the almost 3 billion Christians in the world, over 356 million of them are Pentecostals. Now, that's from the International Bulletin of Mission Research. That number's changing every moment as more and more people get saved and get filled with the Spirit. So these numbers, it depends where you look, there's quite a bit of variation. I've gone conservative. Most of the other places I looked were more. But what I'm saying is, in the last 100 years, God has been pouring out the Holy Spirit on the earth. So we went 121 years ago from 10,000 to over 656 million. Now, this is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, which Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And we know in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came around them the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It looked like tongues of fire came to rest and separated on them. And they all began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It was a freaky thing. It was an amazing thing. This is the birth of the church. This is the day of Pentecost. Now, there were 500 people who saw Jesus after he had been resurrected, but now, after a 10-day prayer meeting, it had whittled down to only 120, because not everyone can do a 10-day prayer meeting. And so 120 people received the supernatural power download from heaven. It must have been overwhelming them because they looked drunk. Now, sometimes the power of God is so strong on you, you can't stand up under it. You stagger around. You even fall over. Who's had that happen to them? Who has had something freaky happen to them when they're under the power of the Holy Ghost? Maybe you were laughing when nothing was funny. Who's done that? Maybe you were crying when nothing was sad. Yeah. So now we're not looking for outward manifestations. But when you come into contact with a power source that is beyond anything else on this planet, something happens in your body often. You know, if you were to, do not just try this at home. If you were ever to, children, ask your parents first. If you were ever to get a warrant, stick it in a PowerPoint, do not do this. Then your body would have a reaction when it came into contact with that power source. How much more is the power of God than a little bit of electricity? They started speaking in freaky languages. This is called speaking in tongues. Now, it was supernatural. They had not studied these languages. They had not learned these languages. They had not been to these places where these languages are spoken. They were just local dudes from Galilee who were in Jerusalem at the time. So it was supernatural. And do you know what? There's a term for this. It's called glossolalia. It's a phenomenon of speaking in unknown tongues. It's when God bypasses this controlling mind that likes to be in control. And we go one-on-one with the Holy Spirit, spirit to spirit. And tongues is the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Our Pentecostal forefathers took a lot of heat for that. And there was a lot of pressure on them over the years to just tone it down a bit and just be nice Christians and stop doing all that weird stuff. But they held on because the Bible talks about it. They held on to what the Word said. So often we can be like, well, I don't like tongues and I come from a church. I was brought up in a church that doesn't speak in tongues. Well, I would encourage you to not pull down the Word to your level of experience. I would encourage you to lift your experience to the level of the Word of God. Because the Bible talks about this, and Jesus even said, don't leave town till you got it. Stay here in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. So, sadly, there are many believers in the church worldwide who are cessationists, which comes from the root word cease, which means stop. They basically believe all the miracles, healings, and stuff that happened in the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit has now ceased. It has stopped. They think it was just for a few short years in Bible times when Jesus was there and then his apostles, his disciples, and then that was it. And it's not happening now. It's like they've taken Christianity, sucked all the power out of it, and all we're left with is a little bit of dead religion. Yuck. The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. It does not say at the end of the book of Acts, and that's all, amen, go home, good night. Last one out, turn out the lights. The apostles are still acting. God is still alive and well. He hasn't run out of power. He is still moving on planet Earth through you and me. The Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to be God on the earth right now. So Jesus came and then he died. And 3 days later, he rose again. And then 40 days later, he went up to heaven. And then 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit to come down and be God on earth. Because he'd said to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send you the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit is God on earth right now with us. There is no Christianity without the Holy Spirit. He is a vital part of the Trinity. And in Luke 7, verse 28, Jesus told us that John was the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. And recently I heard Pastor Bill Johnson on a podcast from Bethel Church in Reading saying, the Holy Spirit baptism gives us access to a reality in God that not even John the Baptist had access to. There is no substitute for the infilling, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the power that will affect everything you do. The power of the Holy Spirit moves through us like electricity. That's why we have a doctrine of laying on of hands in our Bible. I was just reading about it this week in Hebrews, and it's many other places in the New Testament. So God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that everything about you will be charged with the dynamic of heaven. And today we're talking about praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit wants to pray through you. The Holy Spirit wants to pray for you. So let's go to Mark 16, verse 17. Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues. And then it goes on to say some other stuff. So we see there, Jesus wants his believers to speak in tongues. We need to speak the language of the Lord. The language of the Holy Spirit is tongues. We know Jesus is into it. He prophesied it here. We know that speaking in tongues is God's will for us. Why are we sometimes hesitant to do it? So many Christians, even Pentecostal Christians, they get filled with the Spirit in a youth camp. And then they're like, park it. Like some kind of ornament on the mantelpiece. Oh, there's my baptism in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that nice? Back in the 83. Oh, such sweet times. Good days, good times. No, it's today. It's now. Everywhere in the book of Acts where it says, and they were filled with the Spirit, that's like a fresh infilling. They prayed. They were all filled with the Spirit. The place where they prayed was shaken and they were all filled with the Spirit. We've got to keep being infilled every day. We've got to keep praying in tongues every day. Some people are like, oh, I don't want to speak in tongues. It's weird. It's just weird. No, it's biblical. And if you do it every day, it will rapidly stop becoming weird and become normal. Praying in the Spirit is a powerful tool to build up your spiritual muscle. Tongues is your personal prayer language. Did you know that every place in the book of Acts, when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. They got power and they spoke in tongues. Sometimes they prophesied as well. There's only one place where it doesn't say what happened, and that was when Philip went down to Samaria, but someone offered them money for it, so it was obviously dramatic. It is God's will for you to be a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, born-again, baptized believer. We got to take all God has for us. Don't be a pick out the bits in the Bible that you think are PC and socially acceptable. Nobody likes a fussy eater. Pentecost is not just a one-off thing. God wants you and I to live every day overflowing with his power. How do we do that? We get up every morning and we pray in tongues. We talk with the Holy Spirit, preferably before we talk with people. If we all did this every day, it would revolutionize our day. Did you know that speaking in tongues even lifts your mood? So where are all the morning people at? Show of hands. Come on. All the smiley, cheery ones. I am one of those annoying morning people who wake up cheery, happy, and talking. You know, I used to live with a girl years ago who was definitely not. You could not get a civil word out of her until after 10 a.m. And I'd say, hi, how are you? It's a beautiful day. How did you sleep? She'd say, with my eyes closed. And that just shut down the conversation right there until after 10 a.m. You know, a pastor was asked recently if he was a morning person or not, and he said, well, sometimes I wake up grumpy, but sometimes I just let it slip in. But anyway, if you wake up grumpy, then it's vital for you to pray in tongues before you meet and greet the rest of the world, before you meet and greet the family, because it is like a mood-altering, mood-enhancing drug. It lifts our mood because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And when we speak the language of the Spirit, when we speak in tongues, then we enlarge our capacity for the Holy Spirit here. And he comes and manifests himself in us and through us in a greater way. And it saddens me that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues daily is overlooked by so many Christians today. We've got to stay immersed in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. God's power has been given to us to be used every day. It wasn't just a nice experience back at youth camp when you're a teenager as a one-off. When we pray in tongues every day, the Holy Spirit rises up inside us. It's like our spirit begins to surge within us and it stands up inside us. And when we pray in tongues, it's a gateway into the realm of the Spirit. And then our spirit is activated and we've opened a fresh flow of the Holy Spirit into us. When I get up in the morning and I walk around, sakiyara kusakato durakashaba, it's like the Holy Ghost starts flowing afresh in me and through me. It's awesome. Tell the person next to you, she's right, you know. Here's another scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4a. A person who speaks in tongues edifies themselves. That's NIV. The New Living says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally in the Lord. The Amplified says, a person who speaks in tongues improves themselves. The Living Bible says, a person who speaks in tongues helps themselves grow spiritually. So it edifies, which means it builds up our inner person, our inner spirit. Praying in tongues always affects us in a positive way. And speaking in tongues equips us from the inside out. It's like it's your daily workout in God's gym. You know when you go to the gym, I don't because I don't go. I do jog twice a week, quite slowly, but anyway, and walk on the other days. But apparently, when you go to the gym and you lift weights, your muscles get strong. But when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues, it's like that spiritually. Your spiritual muscles get strong. You just can't see them when you flex in front of the mirror, that's all. But it's very important for all of us to spend time praying in tongues every day. It actually strengthens and exercises our spirit. And there are too many spiritually weak Christians walking around because they don't exercise their spirit. We each need to take responsibility for cultivating and developing a strong spirit. We do this by speaking in tongues, by praying in tongues, because the Holy Spirit greatly energizes us. And we look at the book of Acts and the healings and the miracles and the expansion of the church planting, and we think, oh, they were so amazing. But we have the same Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He dwells in you, it says in Romans. We've got that same miracle-working Holy Spirit inside of us. Hallelujah. And he is fueling us and he is energizing us and he is speaking through us with great boldness. And he wants to be the fire inside of you every day of your life. Look at Ron, who just went to be with the Lord this year. 96, he was a walking revival. And he's 96. I want to be like that. Thank you, Lord. He wants to be the fire inside us every day of our life. The Holy Spirit is there to fuel us so we never put out. I'm here today to tell you, you need a daily tongues habit. Tell the person next to you, you need a daily tongues habit. Amen. And if you don't speak in tongues yet, we'll get to that soon and we'll give you an opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Our faith is increased every time we pray in tongues. Our spiritual senses are tuned to the frequency of the Holy Spirit when we pray in tongues. We begin to hear from God more and more. God is a speaking God, and his people are a hearing people. The way the Holy Spirit often speaks to us is also through his word. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it brings the word of God to life. And I've shared with you before, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was in the Teachers College Halls of Resonance in 1988, and this really hot young Christian guy laid hands on me, and nothing happened because I was distracted, quite frankly. So then the next day, Carolyn came and laid hands on me and prayed for me, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I just said to her, I've only got one word. And she said, well, say it anyway. And I said, well, it's Durunda quiche. And I think I'm making it up because it's nearly lunchtime and I'm thinking quiche food, you know. She said, don't make excuses, just say it. So I said it. And I kept saying it over and over. And then the next day I got a little bit more. And the next day a little bit more. And it went from word to words to language to languages. And the Holy Spirit wants us, he wants to equip us with this way of praying. Sometimes I'm praying for someone to get saved and I'm praying for them over and over again. Lord, let them get saved. Lord, let them get born again. Lord, and it just gets monotonous after a while in English. So I just think of them and I pray in the Holy Spirit. Hora sabaraka. Right then, the Holy Spirit is praying through my spirit back to the throne of the Father and he is interceding for them and he can pray for them better than I can. He knows what to bind over their lives, what to loose. It's amazing. And when I started reading the Bible, I was getting saved, and I didn't even know when I got saved. I know I am saved. I didn't go up the front. I didn't pray a sinner's prayer, but here we are saved. Hallelujah. But I remember trying to read the Bible before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'd have a dictionary, and I was struggling a bit, even though it was a New Testament. But then after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, it was like the Bible jumped up and slapped me in the face. Speaking to me, every word, just hearing the voice of the Lord more and more. When I pray in tongues, when we pray in tongues, we free the Holy Spirit to move on our minds with revelation knowledge, with insight, with wisdom, with spiritual understanding. As soon as you start to pray in tongues, you put yourself in the spirit realm. The Holy Spirit bypasses your flesh, your emotions, your soul, which is your emotions and your mind. It bypasses your flesh, your soul, your intellect, and it goes straight to your spirit. This is where our spirit is, in the middle. We experience God at a supernatural level every time that we pray in tongues. And our walk with God is not restricted to the cognitive level. It's not restricted to what we can figure out. But our spirit is now open to revelations and visions and dreams from the Holy Spirit. There are so many benefits when we pray in tongues. And it increases holiness in us because it's the Holy Spirit. He makes us holy. So he increases our desires and makes them holy. So we're not wanting to sin all the time. You know, the old Pentecostals used to say there is a way we cannot sin all the time. You've got to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've got to speak in tongues every day because the desires of the Holy Spirit are then translated into our spirit. And we don't want to do the old stuff anymore. We want to do what God wants. I found this when I got saved and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to go to the pub anymore. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go to youth. I wanted to go to Connect Group. I didn't want to read Dolly magazine. I wanted to read the Bible. I thought, what's happening? Am I losing my mind? Because I didn't understand what was happening to me. It was the Lord. He was doing a new thing. He makes us holy. When we pray in tongues, it increases our spiritual authority. It also inoculates us against deception. It's like you just know a certain thing is bad. You don't even know why or how you know. You just know you know because you know it in here. You know stuff in your spirit that your mind doesn't even know yet because the Holy Spirit is showing it to you. Praying in tongues is also a gateway to operating in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it also develops the fruit, the result of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So even if you're feeling down, praying in tongues is going to help you because the love and the joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit will be formed within us. Praying in tongues manifests the mind of Christ within us. A great book on praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, is by Dave Robeson called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Who's read that book? It's amazing. You want to get it? I've got it. You can borrow it. There is a spirit, he said. There is a spiritual link between tongues and revelation knowledge. Tongues is the dividing line between those who walk in the miraculous and those who don't. Who wants to move in the miraculous? Come on. Who wants to hear stuff from God that only he knows? Who wants to hear the secrets of heaven? Praying in the Spirit is an incredible spiritual weapon. This is why Satan has removed tongues from over half the church. Worldwide, probably three quarters, I don't know. It is much easier for Christians to be deceived by the changing doctrines of people when they have been separated from one of the main ways that enables them to learn to hear from the Holy Spirit himself, speaking in tongues. Well, I've actually heard people say, well, I've got the gift of prophecy, I'm not the gift of tongues. And what's happening right there is a common misunderstanding. Because there's two different types of tongues. One is the prayer language that we're talking about today. Speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, that every Christian gets when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, like it says in Acts. The other one is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, which is prophesying in tongues in a church meeting or a connect group gathering. This is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, which it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. And that needs interpretation, which is another one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. So I speak, they're two entirely different things. A lot of people get them confused. I speak and pray in tongues every day of my life. I've never prophesied in tongues in a church meeting. So they're two different things. So we don't opt out of tongues, okay? Oh, it's just one of the nine gifts. I'm opting out. No, that's a separate thing. You need the Holy Spirit baptism. And then when you get it, you will pray in tongues. And over the years, some well-meaning people, pastors, leaders have said to people, it's okay, it's okay. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues. It's okay. We don't get to change what the word says. We've got to hold to the level of what the word says and lift our experience up to it, not bring the word down to what some poor person has experienced out of some misguided sense of compassion. I would say instead, if you are not speaking tongues yet, get on every altar call until you are. Get hungry. Ask and you receive. I love Pastor James and how he was hungry for the Holy Spirit when he was 14. They used to have tarry meetings back in the day where you'd tarry, you'd wait on the Holy Spirit. And he'd go to the tarry meetings, he's waiting to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then one day on a Sunday in the middle of a church meeting, when the preacher was preaching, he just starts speaking in tongues. Sort of an inappropriate moment, really. It might have been a distraction, I don't know. And then he said he biked home and then the way he lay on his bed and it was like waves all night coming over him. Waves of the power of the Holy Spirit. It is much easier. I've read that, haven't I? Yes. Okay, here we go. We all need to pray in tongues, speak in tongues personally. When we pray in tongues, it's like we're on a direct phone line to God. And sometimes we don't know what or how to pray in English, but the Holy Spirit knows better and he prays through us. Here's another verse, Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. I'll read it out in the NIV. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And other translations talk about mysteries as well. And God uses the speaking in tongues to transfer mysteries and divine secrets from his Spirit to ours. Or I think actually the mysteries might be a different scripture, which I haven't had time to include in here today. Praying in tongues is so powerful because when we pray in tongues, it builds our anointing so we can break through spiritual strongholds. So when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. He takes the plan of the Father for your life. And he pours it through your spirit. He is praying for your calling to be realized. He is praying the plan of God for your life into being. He is charging you with his holy power. So as we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is enabled to pull us into our God-given future. Praying in tongues activates the will of God over your life. Now, it's your choice whether you pray in tongues or whether you don't. But every time you choose to activate this Holy Ghost gifting, this language, and you start praying in tongues, every time you choose to start praying in tongues, you'll come out of that prayer time more edified, more built up in his plan and purpose for you than if you hadn't done it. God's plan for you is in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in you. He is your friend. He is your prayer partner. He is for you and not against you. If the band could come, please. The Holy Spirit is always one step ahead of the devil. The Holy Spirit knows the end from the beginning. He knows God's will for you in every circumstance. He knows what God has called you to do in minute detail. So why wouldn't you want him to pray for you? So why wouldn't you want him to pray through you? You know, Satan will do anything he can to stop you and I praying in tongues. He fears it because he can't understand it. It goes straight over his head. But he can see the fruit of it as you are growing bigger and stronger spiritually, and you become a far greater threat to him when you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. So Satan tries to belittle and sideline this powerful practice of praying in tongues. And he whispers things to our minds like, oh, you don't need that tongues thing, it's weird. Just stay in the middle. Be a nice, proper, socially acceptable Christian. Not one of those Jesus freaks. But he knows that the more we pray in tongues, the stronger we get. And we don't fear the giants and the problems we face as we did before. The problems may still even be there, but our spirit has been strengthened and enlarged so much now that you're like the Incredible Hulk on the inside. I love Smith Wigglesworth. Who's heard of him? You know, the guy who raised all these people from the dead and did amazing healing miracles and preached the gospel fearlessly and went to be with the Lord about 60, 70 years ago. He said the Spirit reveals, unfolds, and takes all the things of Christ and shows them to us and prepares us to be more than a match for satanic forces. More than a match for satanic forces. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. More than ever, we need to build our strength up in our spirit by praying in tongues every day. I want to urge you to make praying in tongues a practice in your life daily. This is going to help you more than anything. More than a pill, more than taking pills, more than positive thinking, more than a self-help book, more than Anthony Robbins, more than a TED Talk. You know, whenever I get the opportunity to preach at a women's conference or at a youth camp, that doesn't happen very much now that I'm over 50, or anything, anywhere, wherever I go, I try to get as many people saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit as possible. What else am I going to leave them with to go send them back home with? A message with three powerful points, all starting with the letter P. That ain't going to help them as much as if we get the power of the Holy Ghost inside them. Then they're equipped to live for him for the rest of their lives. You know, we want the Lord to fight our battles for us, and this is how. He knows what to pray better than we do. He binds the devil, looses spiritual anointings and blessings over our situations and our lives. Whatever you're facing, the Holy Spirit does not want you to face it alone. He's got something to say about it, and he's fighting for you, and he wants to speak to God on your behalf. Many believers are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they're just a bit lazy and don't pray in tongues very often at all. You've got to build it into your daily routine. You've got to build it into a quiet time and or just a time in your day when you're alone. Get a habit going. Even time yourself, if necessary, for praying in tongues for a certain amount of time. And the shower is a great one. You know, I've shared before, I've got a daily tongues habit in the shower and in my prayer time and in the car. But wherever and whatever, it works. You know, I like to start my prayer times. I walk around the room. I pray in tongues. And after I've done that for about 5 minutes, I'm in the spirit, man. He's starting to move. I know what to pray for. It's really important that we do this every day because we get in tune with him. And he starts to pray through us. When is a good time for you in your own life, in your own routine, when you could spend an extended amount of time, I'm talking about more than 1 minute, you know, a block of time, maybe 5 or 10 minutes praying in tongues? Do you have a commute daily to work in the car when you're alone? Or what about first thing in the morning in the shower? Or what about when you get out of bed before your feet hit the ground? You open your mouth and you put your tongue in gear. It's going to be a good day in Jesus' name. It takes focus at first. You have to concentrate. But after a while, the minute you get in your shower, the minute you get in your car in the morning, it'll be a habit. Your tongue will go into gear. You know, the more I pray in tongues, the more I notice God shows me things. Gives me revelation about certain people and how they're wired and what the call of God is on their life and why they do the things they do and areas they're bound up in. And then I know how to pray for them because I want to see them set free. You know, when I come to Friday morning prayer meeting, we're all there, we're praying, and you know, you're praying in tongues for 45 minutes and then you do some out loud praying in English. But you know, you generate your whole time, you're praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And I didn't quite capture it at first. I was like, Lord, what the heck? Why is it always, why is it always on Friday mornings when I'm in the pre-meeting, you show me the next thing you want me to be preaching on? It's, of course, it's because I'm tapping into the knowledge of the Lord when I pray in tongues for that extended period of time. And whenever I had a baby, I'd take a year off. This is over the last 24 years. Take a year off going to pre-meeting because, you know, you're breastfeeding early in the morning and it's just chaos and anarchy. But I really miss pre-meeting that whole year and what it did for me and what it did for me in my spirit, because I miss that extended period of speaking in tongues. You know, when we pray in tongues, it's like a spiritual download from heaven, and we are praying the will of God into being. And we need to fully utilize this, not just ignore it, not just use it on special occasions or when there's a crisis or only in a prayer meeting. We need to do it ourselves every day. We've got to take responsibility to cultivate a strong spirit. We don't have to live out of our feelings. We can live out of the power of the Holy Ghost every day. When we pray in tongues, we're built up and it makes us more than equal to anything Satan throws at us. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you've been laboring in your Christian walk and you're weary. But you don't have to labor in it. There's an engine inside of you that you can switch on. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What I want you to do is lift your hands. I want to pray over you. We say right now, Holy Spirit, come in power. Come in power. Come in power. We don't want to be a church who does have some sort of cognitive relationship with you only. We want the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to know you intimately. We want to know you spirit to spirit. We want to walk in the fullness of all you have for us. We say, come in power in Jesus' name. We're going to sing this now and we're going to wait on the Holy Spirit while we worship God. Let's do it.